This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson here with Tim Marks on the board, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to Live the Promise. A very happy Wednesday to you. Really glad you tuned in. You know, we've had a powerful week this far. We really have, Tim. I think of Monday when we had Greg Paul talking about intimacy with God, close enough to hear God breathe. Yesterday, Mike Gazzardo talking all in what it means to be a fully devoted, surrendered follower of Christ. And we've already received emails from people saying, that was a game-changing show, or that changed everything for me. I just love to hear what God is doing in and through the show.
I really do, too, and especially when it comes to changing lives and helping people to grow closer to Him. I mean, that's what the show is all about.
Yeah.
And so we just love that, and we have a couple of great shows coming up, too.
Yeah, which ones are you talking about?
Well, we have... We have Stephen Kendrick tomorrow on the show.
Oh, of course, Courageous.
From the Courageous movie, that's going to be great. And then we have Chris Fabry on Friday, and also just a wonderful new novel that he's written, and talking about fatherhood and talking about people that may be estranged from their family and how God can work in those situations.
Yep. Then on Monday, Steve Arterburn as well. So
yes.
We have a great lineup. So if you want to catch the podcast from Monday or Tuesday, you can go to the website faithradionet.com. Well, today we're actually going to continue our conversation about what it means to be all in. We've got a different guest today, Mike Pearson, but it's really a piggyback to me when I looked at his ministry and what he's all about to yesterday's conversation. So do check out the podcast if you get a chance, faithradionet.com. And I'll bring Mike on in a moment. He is in studio with us today. That's really fun. I'm speaking tomorrow on Thursday in Fargo. For the Fargo listeners, if you can come to the breakfast. It's the New Life Center Auxiliary. It's at the Hilton. And the breakfast, I think, is almost sold out, but there's still a few seats left. Speaking at the dessert at night. And then we're broadcasting live, as you said, Tim, from our Fargo station talking to Stephen Kendrick. So if you live in the Fargo area and want to be part of one of those three events, email me and I'll get you the information. Well, I wanted to just tell you this story. A lot of you know I lost my dad in January, and I talk often about my insomnia. Mm-hmm. My problem is everybody's problem. But, you know, I battle insomnia. Well, I've been relentlessly, Tim, asking the Lord, not only would you restore my sleep night, my hours at night, but would you teach me at night? Because Scripture says, even at night, my heart instructs me. Mm-hmm. And as I've said before, sometimes when I actually do get sleep, I have these terrible nightmares. And so it's like the enemy has had this access to my night hours in a way that has just been, you know, mind-boggling. Well, anyway, I'm jumping around, but I'm going to tie this together. I blog today. Every Wednesday, I write a devotional blog. And today, I blogged about how heaven sees you. And I opened with, and I hate to admit it, but just the distraction I have felt with aging. I hate gravity. I hate what aging does to your body. And it's just been bugging me. And it's like, I hate that I've been distracted with it at times, because when I look up and I look at God, I see Him everywhere. So last night, you know, I pray, Lord, let me sleep tonight. And not only let me sleep, but would you speak to me? Well, I had a dream. I probably slept 4 or 5 hours, Tim, last night. But I had a dream that my dad came back. It was the most amazing thing. I'm standing there talking with friends, and I see him in the distance. And he's in his old, you know, clothes he always wore, his little pants and jacket and his old fishing hat. And I run up to him. I go, Dad, you're here? Why are you here? And do you have something to say to me? It was so clear in this dream. Mm. And he was looking off in the distance, and he turns to me, and he grabs my arms with his hands, and he says, from heaven's point of view, you're absolutely stunning. You're gorgeous, and you are rich beyond measure. And then the dream ended. Isn't that amazing? Hmm. I woke up and I was just thinking, you know, how often we are distracted by our imperfections, by the imperfect stuff in our life. And if we could just somehow get a clue on, you know, because you and I were doing the good news versus behind the scenes the other day. Mm-hmm. And that one verse I told you that jumped out at me, that we've been made perfect and we're being made holy. And so when we're in Christ, that He does a miracle in our lives, you know, we are made spotless without stain before Him. And then as we walk with Him, we're made holy along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you think our world would change, our life would change, if we could see ourselves from heaven's perspective?
Well, that's exactly it. We talk often on the show about if we could just get a glimpse of how God sees us as His dearly beloved children. Oh, My goodness, it would change everything.
It would change everything. So I blogged about that, and you can check it out if you need a word of encouragement. It's at SusieLarson.com. Well, as I said, today we're talking to Mike Pearson. He's the founder of His Clay Ministries, and we're going to talk more about what it means to be all in for Jesus, what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. So let me tell you about him. We'll get him on the show. Mike Pearson is the founder of His Clay Ministries. He has passionately pursued this inspiration from God since 2003. What began as a simple sketching on a legal pad, His Clay Ministries has now developed into a powerful God-inspired ministry. Mike attended the University of Minnesota, where he played baseball for the Gophers, and he played on two Big Ten championship teams. He graduated college with a degree in secondary education and coaching. He spent 3 years being trained and equipped for leadership through Hosanna Lutheran Church in Lakeville, Minnesota. His hobbies include golf, coaching his kids, spending time with his family. He lives in Lakeville, Minnesota with his wife, Dee Dee, and their three children. You can learn more about him on the web at hisclay.org. Mike, welcome to the studio. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Susie. I'm glad to be here.
Great to be with you. Well, we start out talking scripture with every show. We end with scripture and prayer, and you chose, I love this passage, Acts 4:13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in scriptures. They also recognized them as men who'd been with Jesus. And another translation says they were unlearned men who'd clearly been with Jesus. Love that passage. Talk to us about why you chose that one.
You know, that verse of scripture spoke to me very early on when stepping out and serving God, and just being willing to step out and maybe have the courage to step out and do the things that God was leading me to do. And boy, did that scripture ever resonate with me. When I read that scripture, I learned very quickly that it's all about God and not about me. And I love that. It was refreshing. It was calming. And it was gave me a lot of peace because I knew it was all about God.
Yeah. And it's humbling to learn that, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's humbling at the same time, yeah. Because you do get a lot of excitement and enthusiasm when the Lord speaks to you and wants to do things to you. You want to go out and do it. And when you stop long enough to understand that it's really God doing the work through you, that you do find that you need to humble yourself just a little bit and say, this is the Lord's work. But at the same time, you know that people will sense that it is about God when He is with you and walks with you.
I love that. You know, Peter, you look at the transformation before and after Pentecost, and you look at who he was, and he had passion before, but he was sort of bumbling, and that is the picture of us when we still think it's about us. But then here, you know, he is bold, he's powerful, he doesn't have the fear of man anymore, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
It is. It's amazing, actually, and I loved listening to what you were talking about at the start of the show about how God sees us, because so many times I think we get concerned about, look at all my imperfections, and look at my blemishes, look at my pimples and freckles, and how could I ever do anything, you know, meaningful in the kingdom? I'm not there yet. And what is there, you know? Mm-hmm. And so you do look at it that way, and you struggle when you understand that, hey, you don't have to be perfect, that when you are, you know, pre-Peter or post-Peter, as it were, that God does the amazing work through us, and that through all of our cracks and our imperfections, that God does a perfect work through us, and that's what's so cool.
Oh, I love that. You know, I'm thinking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And you think of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, why that's so detrimental to us, because it either puffs us up or causes us to despair, but either way, it keeps us looking at ourselves. And so often we still try to eat from that tree, if you know what I mean? But life is in Jesus, and anything we accomplish is in Jesus. And so I love that. That's what you're saying. So I would like to know a little bit backstory from you about your spiritual journey, and especially when you became an all-in follower of Christ.
Oh, you bet. I grew up Catholic, and I was very very involved in religion, so to speak, as I grew up. And I went to the Catholic Church and was an altar boy and so forth. And so I really felt like I had understood who God was. And I carried that a little bit into college, not a great deal, but didn't attend church as much in college. But when I did get into the married life and started to have a family, I really started to seek and look for more to life. I wanted to understand what more is out there other than work and job and house and bills and so forth. And so I had a struggle really early on in my marriage in terms of what's my purpose and what is my call and what is this all about? And after some struggles and whatnot, I had a friend direct me to really come to understand the difference between what it is to know about religion and what it is to know about relationship. And I had a fundamental change about 10 to 12 years ago where I understood that it was the relationship piece with Jesus Christ that really brought a transformational change to my life and really helped me to understand what is my call and what is my purpose here on earth.
And how did that impact the rest of your family, and how long did it take for that to ripple out?
You know, it was pretty amazing because early on, coming to understand the relationship piece was new. I really didn't understand what that all meant. And through an Alpha experience, I really came to understand who Jesus is, what is sin, what is sanctification, what is eternal life, how does God really work and move in our lives. And that's when the empowerment piece started to really go. And that's when the Holy Spirit really got a hold of my heart. I really felt the Holy Spirit move. I really felt empowered. I really felt excited and enthused as God started to reveal to me new things that I had never understood and never really come to grasp in life. And slowly but surely, that started to impact, you know, my family and people around me. And what was really exciting about that is after about 6 months of me giving my life to Christ, my wife did the same thing. Mm-hmm. We had a dinner to celebrate her birthday, and she goes, "It has been amazing. After six months of you accepting Christ, to watch your life change." And she goes, I can't explain it. I don't understand it. It's really not you anymore. And she goes, "That's what's so exciting about it." And she goes, "There's something about you that I really can't explain." And what she said that really moved me was she goes, "I want a part of that."
Wow.
And we prayed and accepted. On her birthday in a parking lot outside a restaurant.
So beautiful.
Very transforming. And the ripple effect went from her into our children and,
and
beyond.
That is awesome. Yeah. Awesome. I've been crucified with Christ.
Yes.
It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You are walking, breathing testimony of that verse and that reality.
Amen.
Awesome. So when did the idea of His Clay Ministries, how did God impart that to you, and how was it born?
You know, shortly, probably about a year after I had experienced my faith change and accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior, and understanding and experiencing the Alpha course, I spent some time really kind of leaning in a little deeper to try and find out, God, where do you want me to go with this? What do you want me to actually do? And so I engaged in a leadership and development curriculum at an area church here in the Twin Cities called Hosanna, and it was called Potter's Wheel. And basically, you spent 2 to 3 years developing your own curriculum as you were being led by the Lord in terms of words godly. And so you developed quarterly curriculum that you would follow, and whether it was Bible study or whether it was engaging in ministry within the church, wherever God was leading you and putting on your heart, that became part of my focus and part of my passion for 2 to 3 years. It was during that time that God really gave me the inspiration to create a website and to have a website that would talk about the Christian faith, where people could learn about who He is and what He wants to do in their life, and that people could learn really about the Christian faith in a low-key, non-threatening environment in front of their keyboard or their home PC, and just kind of point and click around and really have the Holy Spirit, right, navigate that experience. And so He put on my heart to create a website.
And that's how it started.
That's how it started.
Wow, love it. If you just tuned in, I'm really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We have in studio as our guest Mike Pearson of His Clay Ministries. And you know what? It's Wednesday, so it's Book Giveaway Wednesday, which means we've got a handful of books from my publisher, Moody Publishers. So I've got 3 copies of my book, Growing Grateful Kids, and 2 copies of Andrew Murray's The True Vine. We're giving these books away on Facebook today. So the question on Facebook is, how has the life of Christ in you changed you? What's the miracle in your life? I would love to know. Go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. Here again is the question. How has the life of Christ in you changed you? And what is the miracle in your life? I would love to know. Okay, tell us more about His Clay Ministries, its function, and what it's there for.
Oh, you bet. Shortly after God gave me the inspiration to put the website together, I had sought out some area resources, some people. God just kind of opened up some doors, and the right people came into the mix and helped create and build the website. And once we had the website established and fully functional and on the World Wide Web, the inspiration really came from there to create a ministry card. And on the ministry card, it simply had on the very front of it a clay pot, and it said on that clay pot, His Clay. And on the back side of the card, it said transform, renew, form, mold, shape, a lot of potter-related terminology. And the inspiration with this card was this. It was to share that card with people in your daily life. It was an evangelism tool. And that's right where God initially led us with the ministry, was to take these cards. And people would get this card, whether you left it with a tip at a restaurant or you handed it to a friend during a casual conversation and said, "Hey, check this out." You could use it in a lot of different ways, just as a real low-keyed way to point people to the website where they could learn more about maybe that conversation that you were having, or maybe it's just something that, that God takes a card and leads them to because it's something you leave behind for a waitress or somebody that you don't know. I leave them at gas, top of gas card, gas station pumps. I let them sit up there and wherever people grab them. But people get the card and they're curious because it doesn't really say what it is. But it really is just something that says there's a website on the front, and people, it points people to go, what is this clay pot thing all about? And then it's the Holy Spirit's work. And so really, it was a real nice way for people to have a card where maybe people don't really feel bold enough or comfortable enough to really talk about their faith or really to evangelize to people. It was kind of a safe way for people just to say, hey, check this out and see what you find.
Wow, that's so interesting. So the website really is the main hub of your ministry. When they go to your website, what did they find there?
Yeah, that was the exciting part. When I was in the Potter's Wheel development program at Hosanna, God had shown me this Potter's Den. I was in Scripture one night, and I was reading Scripture when this whole inspiration came to me, and I was in Isaiah. And it talked about, for Lord, you are the potter, and we are the clay. We are all formed by your loving hands. And this vision came of a potter's den, and clay pots in that den, and there was a pot on a wheel. And it was really just crystal clear for me that there needs to be a website, and it's the potter's den. And so when you go to the website, what you'll see is you'll see a lot of clay pots in the website, and you'll see different different verbiage on the pots in terms of what the pots are each about. One's about who is Jesus, one's about his clay, one's frequently asked questions, one's the Bible, our mission, our core values. And so there's just a lot of things that you can point and click on in that potter's den to really come to learn more about the Christian faith.
And so what has the result been?
You know, the result has been really interesting. We receive, you know, random communications through the website saying, thank you for doing this. I learned a lot about the Christian faith. There's things there I wasn't aware of. This was really interesting for me to really have the time to look at without the pressure or the feelings of, you know, insecurity to really seek and learn more about what's going on with the faith, Christian faith. But a lot of people just enjoy having the opportunity just to learn more about it in an environment that is completely up to them and the Holy Spirit just to engage in.
Yeah, yeah. And it's safe, too. They don't have to, you know, the frequently asked questions are questions maybe they'd be afraid to ask publicly, but they're asked for them, and then the answers are right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one thing that we really have that I've really gotten excited about on the website, and I don't have feedback to talk about on this, but all the way through the website, the word Jesus Christ as an underscore, it's a link. And so as you review the website and you look at different aspects of the website and you learn more about the faith, each time the word Jesus Christ is appearing on the website, it actually is a link that you can actually click on, and it takes you to the prayer of salvation. It talks about the significance of Jesus Christ in our life and a new life with Christ. And what does that mean? And so there's a brief narrative there that you can read, or the visitor can read and understand what it is to make a commitment and commit your life to Christ. And then there's also the prayer of salvation there. And then at the very bottom there, it says, what's next? And you click, and then it tells you, you know, find an area church, you know, find a spiritual mentor, get involved with Alpha. So that's the exciting part to me. People learn about the Christian faith, but then they can take that next step and they can really understand, okay, it's about a relationship and accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior and really taking, I love that part of the website.
Love that too. You know, Alpha is a great program. Maybe some are listening and have no idea what you're talking about. Alpha actually had a very big impact on my dad's life. And so for those who don't know, maybe explain what Alpha's about.
Yeah, it's to answer all the real questions about life. It's you know,
it's like Christianity 101, isn't it? I mean, it really lays the foundation and fills in the gaps of your knowledge.
Who is Jesus and what is sin and how and why do we share our faith with others? There's just a lot of topics that tend to spin in the hearts and the minds of people when they talk about the Christian faith. And so for me, it was great. It was empowering to really understand and have people around me who are kind of in the same place, asking the same questions and kind of sharing our background and where we're from and really kind of together, kind of to come to understand what is the Christian faith about and the significance of having Jesus at the center of that.
Okay, so what is the website?
The website for His Clay? www.hisclay.org.
Easy enough, hisclay.org. What if someone wants a stack of those cards, feel like, okay, I could do that. I could hand out these cards. How would they get them, or is that even possible?
It is possible. You can go to the website, and there is a button or a link, if you will, in the website that you can click that says Contact Us, and that will populate a box that you can enter your information in, including your mailing address, and we can ship those out to you. And they're very well done. They're laminated. They're nice. People feel, I think, when I hold on to one, I don't feel like it's something I want to throw away. They're nicely done, and so I think people could find them to be a nice evangelism tool for them.
So I'm curious, Mike, what do you do full-time? Is this what you do full-time, or is this a side ministry, or how does that work? Or maybe that's too personal of a question, but I'm curious.
I love the question, and I get it a lot. People say to me, when are you going to quit your job and do full-time ministry? And I said, I am. Because I've been in the insurance business for 25 years now, and I work with businesses in terms of helping them understand and manage their insurance and risk management needs. And that's what I've been doing for the last 23, 24 years. When God gave me the inspiration to move forward and help build His Clay Ministries, God was not moving me away from my marketplace commitment, so to speak, my job, my career. He really wanted to use that as a tool in what I did every day and how I lived every day and the words that I shared with people every day that, you know what, that my ministry was working and being in the marketplace. And so I get that question asked a lot is, when are you going to do His Clay Ministries? When are you going to do ministry full time? I said, I really think the Lord has me in full time ministry right where I'm at.
You know, my husband sees it the same way. He works as a construction manager, project manager for large construction projects in the commercial industry. And it's a big job. It's a 40 to 50 hour job. And he manages my ministry on the side, and he volunteers at the youth group at our church and is so invested in these teens. His plate is spilling over full, but he sees it all as ministry. He feels very called to the marketplace to just by integrity and honor and humility and excellence to model Christ, and he does well. I mean, we need people in the marketplace, don't we?
We do, and it's exciting. I've come across a lot of people in the marketplace who have that same call, if you will, that, you know what, the career is the career, and the mission or the call that they have on their life is part of that career. And, you know, I really prayed about that early on because I was so passionate, excited about His Clay. I said, God, I want to just clean the slate and do this all the time. But that wasn't really where the Lord was leading me. And I said, but it's so hard, God, every day on that 40 to 50 hour work week and everything that comes at you to really give it the time and attention that you really want to, you know? And so God says, trust me on that. That's what He always said to me. But one thing He gave me that I really like that the listeners may appreciate, and that's this. God said, I want you every day during the day to look for the burning bushes. He goes, because I'm going to put them there for you. And so that's what I've learned and developed over time in my sanctification process. And as God has led me in this ministry, is that look for the opportunities because they're all over in the marketplace. And, you know, the truth be told is there are a lot of people who will never make it to a church or see the inside walls of a church who really need to hear the gospel message. And so God says, look for those burning bushes. Those are the people that I'm calling you and leading you to minister to.
I love that. I'm thinking of the scripture. You know, we carry these treasures in these earthen vessels so that we know that the power is of God and not of us. And as we are out there, we are the temple of the living God. And to be so aware of that, that He wants to work in us and through us. And that reminds me, Tim, of Sunshine Thursdays. I just got to give a plug because tomorrow is Sunshine Thursday and I'll be on the road, but I still want to hear from people. We have this promo, Mike, that we've been doing from January through April where we're asking people, look for where God is working. Look, keep your eyes open. And when you see Him move, if it's in your children, in your marriage, in your neighborhood, wherever, let us know about it. And they go to our website, faithradionet.com, and on the little Sunshine Thursday banner, they submit a testimony. And then every Thursday, we pull four out. And maybe, Tim, you just give a quick explanation before we go to break.
Well, and basically what they do is they do fill out that form, and then we read four of those stories every week, every Thursday, and we'll be doing that tomorrow. And then after we've read those, we put them in a drawing for the grand prize that we've been giving away one each month, and that is a night stay at the Radisson Bloomington and four passes to the Water Park of America.
Yeah, so that's just a fun treat. And if we do draw your name, you'll get a book off our Faith Radio shelf. It's just a fun way to bless you, but mostly these testimonies are encouraging many more testimonies. I love what you said, Mike, to keep our eyes open to the ways God is moving in our midst. Well, we do need to take a short break. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about core values of this ministry because they're really core values for us as followers of Christ. Complete devotion to God, having a powerful prayer life, living with an eternal perspective, having a passion to serve, and giving generously. I can't wait to talk about those because there's scripture to back up every one of these core values, and I believe there's a word for you today here as we talk about those. So stay tuned. You're listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and I've got some books to give away, 3 copies of my book, Growing Grateful Kids, and a couple copies of Andrew Murray, one of my favorites, The True Vine. Go to Facebook and answer the question, how has the life of Christ in you changed you? That's facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. More with Mike Pearson in just a moment. World and give me Jesus. I love that song. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We have in studio as our guest Mike Pearson of His Clay Ministries. And I have a question for you because it is Book Giveaway Wednesday. I've got 3 copies of my book, Growing Grateful Kids, Compliments of Moody Publishers, and 2 copies of The True Vine, a wonderful Moody classic by Andrew Murray, one of my favorites, also Compliments of Moody. Here's the question. How has the life of Christ in you changed you? What's the miracle in your life? And if, let me just say this, if you're going through a downtime, a time where you are tempted to look down, this is a great question for you to answer because it causes you to look up and to really marvel at the idea that he already has performed a miracle in your life. If you are in Christ, you're a brand new creation. And if you need a reminder of how heaven sees you, maybe you want to check out my blog post today at SusieLarson.com because it's so easy for us to default to our blemishes, to our imperfections. But really, when we fall into that place, we get into a place of striving and straining, and we're more self-aware than God-aware. But before the break, Mike was saying, we've got to look for the burning bush. And part of what that means is to look up and see God, even in ourselves, to see how he's working in us, how much he loves us, that we've got a right standing before him. And when we are in that mindset, we can get on to the things of God, and we are positioned to be used mightily by God. So check it out, SusieLarson.com. Okay, let's talk, Mike, about your core values, because they really apply to every believer. That's what I like about them, is because they're not only core values for your mission and ministry, but they apply to any Christ follower. So let's talk about the first one, complete devotion to God. You listed Matthew 22:37-38. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Talk about complete devotion to God.
Yeah, you know, that one probably is right at the core of the all-in mission, which we'll probably talk about eventually, but that is really making God, putting him at the center of the bullseye, and that's the way I always explain that, is when God is at the center of my bullseye, it just seems to be that my eyes are on him and that life seems to be just a lot more purposeful and a lot more peaceful and a lot more, it embodies the fruits of the Spirit.
So true.
And when God gets moved out of that center and I put something else in the center of the bullseye, which is career or finances or worry or struggles or challenges or relational battles, I find that things just kind of, the train gets off the track, so to speak. And so for me, that scripture verse talks about keeping God at the center of the bullseye.
I love that. You know, my personal Facebook page, I wrote this morning, highest order of the day today, love the Lord passionately, love others deeply. And then in parentheses, I wrote, everything else has to get in line and take a number.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. But I want to talk for a moment about how our wandering thoughts can take God off the center. And so say a word about that, because I like what you're saying about really putting your focus. That implies intentionality, and we have something to do with where our thoughts go, don't we?
Absolutely. And that is a challenge. One of the things I found being in marketplace ministry are there are so many moving parts and moving things that happen in the marketplace that can take your mind other places, so to speak, and you can quickly get your eye off God and God out of the center of that bullseye. And so for me during the course of the day, it's a constant reminder when things begin to wiggle and waggle as the train's going down the track and you find yourself in struggle, you got to stop immediately and say, hey, what am I concentrating on? What is my focus on? And you really need to stop and pray at that time and say, Lord, you know what? I need to get my focus and attention back on you. So for me, that's usually when I discover it, is when I'm out in my own strength and my own authority, and I really feel that I'm struggling. I quickly know that, you know what? I need to turn my attention back to God.
Wow, that's really great. I'm thinking of David at the Battle of Ziklag. You know, here's Saul and his army wants to kill him, and now his own men are turning on him. And so all of the world really feels like it's turned against him, and he's sort of in the minority, except he has God on his side and a great calling on his life. But you can see where he would get in that mode, right? But the Bible says he strengthened himself in the Lord. And I'm curious how you might strengthen yourself in the Lord. And you feel, because as a man in the marketplace with a family, I mean, you have a lot of very real pressures on your shoulders. And so I'm sure there are times when it seems like everything is bigger than you are. How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord?
That is such a great question, and it's something that I think I'm challenged by daily. Every day you get up and you jump into traffic, there are all kinds of challenges during the course of the day that call for your attention, that call for your energy, and that call, you know, basically for just at your heart at times even. And what I have found during the day is that when I get windshield time, when I am by myself in the vehicle, when I can get the radio station tuned in to KTIS and listen to music, that's where my ministry and my time with the Lord really comes from. Because with meeting after meeting after meeting, and I think a lot of people can resonate that, whether you're a teacher or you're a salesperson or you're in an office place somewhere, it just seems to be that things stack up during the day and you're like, people really want to spend time with the Lord. It's so hard. When can I find that time? Is it early in the morning? Is it late at night? We're so wiped out at the end of a day. And really for me, it's just that time in the car when I have windshield time and I can listen to God minister to me through music, and I can just quietly pray and just let some reflection take place, is when I really find that I'm encouraged, that I'm inspired, and that I'm refreshed and renewed a lot of times in between meetings and just kind of to and from work.
Wow, that's really good. You know, I don't know if you're into chiropractic care or not, but when your back is out of whack, you can't really carry very much weight. But when you get that adjustment and you're back in alignment again, you can carry so much more, right?
Absolutely.
And so I think of it almost like these three vertebrae. But that's a very small back. But anyway, who he is, who I am, and what I possess in him. And when I get out of whack and I feel like things feel too heavy, it's going to crush me. One of those three perspectives are out of whack for me. I've forgotten who he is. I've forgotten who I am. And I've forgotten what I possess in him. And boy, when we remember that he is God, then there's nobody above him. And that we are the object of his affection. And he loves us completely with full knowledge of who we are. And then all of heaven is on our side. All of his riches belong to us. The scripture says we're heirs of God. Boy, then we can get back into that place and face. Everything else starts to seem like details, doesn't it?
It does. It does. No question. As a follower of Christ, what I've really found over time and being in the marketplace and being challenged every day is you need to be very intentional about your faith and your relationship with the Lord. In other words, you need to make time, and that time needs to be the first time that you make for the day. Because if you try and fit it in, it just doesn't work. And so you need to stop and say, this is what I'm committed to today in terms of spending time with the Lord, and then building everything around that. And then God becomes the priority, and your time with him is there, and you are strengthened, you're renewed, you're encouraged, and your days go much better. And what I think happens, and it happens to me at times, is it gets out of whack. And I find myself getting busy and I don't get to that committed time that I have, that I've made priority, and I'm rushing out a door, and then I find myself busy for a couple days, and I haven't spent the time with God in prayer and reading my Bible and just the devotional time, that you do feel like that. You know, you just don't feel like you're on track, and those vertebrae quickly become unaligned.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important that we understand, and what I've learned is that, you know what, you build everything around what's most important.
Amen, brother. Amen. Very, very well put. Well, that leads us to the next core value of His Clay Ministries, a powerful prayer life. I'm a prayer, so I love this one. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Talk about a powerful prayer life.
You know, without communication, it's really hard to build a relationship.
Sure is. Yeah.
And so I learned early on that, and I grew up this way, I'm a pretty social person, and I like to talk. And what I've learned in my prayer life is, boy, God really has a lot to share with us if you take some time to listen.
Yeah, right.
And,
the other side of the dialogue is great,
exactly,
isn't it?
Exactly, it is. And so I would offer that up to say, you know what, I love having somebody to go to.
Mm.
And I love having someone to share my feelings and my heart with. And I know somebody that will love me regardless of how that dialogue goes or how I may have performed that day or not performed. But the beauty of that prayer life is also really listening and hearing from God. Because a lot of what we do in life is how God leads and guides and directs us. And mm-hmm. a lot of the situations we come across in life, He can give us wise counsel. And so many times we jump ahead and we try and fix and resolve and move ahead of God and use our ideas. And so I've learned in that powerful prayer life that listening is just as important
yeah.
as it is soliciting and crying out to the Lord.
Mm. Amen, amen. Hey, if you just tuned in, I'm really glad you joined us. I'm talking to Mike Pearson in studio of His Clay Ministries. And if you are maybe a little sheepish about sharing your faith and you want a really kind of a, I don't want to call it a safe way, but maybe a more doable way to share your faith, go to hisclay.org, order some of these little cards that have clay pots and some words that are sort of intriguing that'll draw these people to his website, and they'll questions are answered about how to find Christ, frequently asked questions about salvation. That's at hisclay.org. If you're curious, get to his website and check it out. Also, it is Book Giveaway Wednesday, so this is the question I'm asking. How has the life of Christ in you changed you? What is the miracle in your life? Go to facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. We've got a stack of books to give away. Well, I want to unpack this verse before we move on, Colossians 4:2, because there's three parts to it. Devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful, and be thankful. Now, being watchful really speaks to watching for that burning bush. But I want to back up and talk about devote yourselves to prayer, because that, again, takes some discipline and some intentionality. I don't know about you, Mike, but some of the greatest breakthroughs in my life, some of the greatest fruit that I'm enjoying today came from tenacious bulldog, I'm hanging on to a promise and I'm not letting go kind of prayer. And prayer works when it's based on the promises of God.
Absolutely. There's no question. And I think where I've come to understand that a little bit better in my faith walk is I've always viewed my prayer life as dedicated time during the course of the day where I needed to just spend time with the Lord. And while that's super important in your faith walk, what God's really shown me is just whispering prayers to Him all day long.
Mm-hmm.
I talk to Him. I have conversations with Him all day long, and not verbalizing it in public forums where people look at you and want to know who are you talking to.
How many of
to
there
and,
are you
and
in
and
there?
How many are there, and what's wrong with this guy? And everybody run.
Yeah, right.
But it's an internal conversation. Mm. You're just kind of thinking, and you're pouring out your thoughts to the Lord, oh Lord, what would I do here, and what should I do with this situation, and what is this person really asking me to do, and it's that constant conversation mm-hmm. in staying connected with the Lord instead of a beginning and an end. It's kind of prayer life that kind of happens and takes place during the course of the day.
Love that. And then the other part of this verse, which is so critical, is be thankful. Yesterday, Mike Gazzardo talked about. He was in a desperate, desperate place, and I don't remember even what he was saying was the issue, but it was desperate for him. But God called him to gratitude, and he's like, I've got arms and legs at work. I've got a roof over my head. And as he started to just count his blessings, he said, joy came back, peace came back. And we can get away from this as well, and this also takes intentionality. So talk about how gratitude is very connected to our prayer life.
Oh, absolutely. When I find myself in a tough place, so to speak, and I'm looking at the way the world measures, you know, gratitude. In other words, where is your success? What do you have? What are your possessions? What are your belongings? Your appearance, the clothes you wear, the house you live in. And quickly we can feel like the scoreboard isn't really in our favor, that we aren't doing such a great job and that there are people out in front of us, i.e. the Joneses. And, you know, gratitude becomes tough in those situations mm. because you feel like, you know what, I can't compete, or I'm not keeping up, or I'm not good enough. And then jealousy and things like that can stem from that. And I love what you just shared, because when we stop and really slow down and say, let's measure what we have in life based on the gifts and the blessings that God has given us, with the health and the arms and the limbs and relationships and family and beautiful children and a job, if we have jobs. I mean, these are things that sometimes we look beyond and take for granted. And as a parent, I try and remind my kids of those things. Look at the nice things you have as a kid. And God often says that to me as his child. He's like, look at the wonderful things that I've blessed you with and embrace them. And truly, there is the joy.
Amen. Someone once said, what if you woke up today with only the things you thanked God for yesterday? Boy, really, it gives you something to think about. I heard that and I thought, Lord, I don't want to take anything for granted, because there are people right now in concentration camps and refugee camps living under a piece of cardboard, and we would miss a whole lot if it was gone. And just because we're so blessed in this country, even though it has its issues, we are decadently blessed, and we take those things for granted because, as you said, we look at what we don't have and what we want, and we can quickly get into self-pity, and that is spiritual blindness, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, absolutely. When you start getting your eyes off of what God has shown you as to be his gifts and his blessings, and you start getting a worldly perspective, it's a slippery slope.
It sure is. So I've learned to look at self-pity as a parasite. I'm just like, you know what, I ain't even going there, because it'll suck the life right out of me.
Amen.
Okay, so we've covered complete devotion to God, powerful prayer life. These are great. Eternal perspective. I love Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Talk about living with an eternal perspective. That is huge.
It is. It's challenging a lot of the times to really keep your perspective focused on where is God leading me and where does God really want me to go. And the thing I share and that I'm always reminded of is we have to be cautious of an internal versus an eternal perspective. And the internal perspective is when we get too caught up in what we think and how we feel and how we perceive things to be. And then we quickly lose sight on how God communicates to us, how life looks and how he wants us to see his
Excellent.
Blessings and how he has provided us with so much abundance through kingdom living. And so for me, understanding the difference between internal perspective and eternal, in other words, keeping my eyes on him and not of things of this world, is where true life, true joy, where you really embrace the love and the fruits, if you will, of what God has for your life.
And what's the difference between a person who lives with an eternal perspective and a person who lives with an internal perspective? What would you say is the fruit of these two lives?
That's a great question. Internal perspective, I think you have the feeling that I need to figure this out. I need to come up with a solution. I need to find a way through it.
I need to be better.
I do. And I need to fix this and I need to fix that. And the onus comes on you and the spotlight comes on you, and we're not wired and we're not built to fix everything and do everything the way we need it. And so that internal perspective can really rob you of the joy and the fruit, so to speak, that God wants us to experience and really embrace in life. And when we find that he is the eternal perspective, in other words, our power rests in him, that we don't have to do it, that we can rely on God, that we can trust God, that we can give it to him, that we can unload that baggage and say, God, you know what? You never wired me to do this. I'm going to give it to you and trust and know, Lord, that you can do this. And then that's that eternal perspective that we get, like, God has the plan. And if I trust and follow him and give it to him and consult with him and pray that, you know what, things are going to turn out okay.
And not only are they going to turn out okay, you're going to live a life totally disproportionate to who you are. And that's what I love about some of these wonderful characters in the Bible, that they were such ordinary people, but they changed the world. And then you look at other people who've lived since the biblical times, you know, who look from the world standard like nondescript, not anything special. Harriet Tubman, Corrie Ten Boom, you know, these people changed the world. And so my whole idea of when we live with an eternal perspective, that even in our weakness, we can boast of our weakness because the power of Christ dwells within us, that those who knew us when will step back and look at us and sort of tilt their head and go, you know, there has to be a God in heaven. No way did that person accomplish that. I believe that's the call for each and every one of us. But
Absolutely.
Can only happen, can it, when we live with an eternal perspective.
Yeah, I agree. You've stated it very well, is the eternal perspective is where we really are able to, you know, exude that love and that joy and that peace that comes from God. And with that internal perspective, we really get caught up and struggle with some of our own, you know, our deficiencies and insignificant feelings about things and ourselves.
Oh, that's so good. All right, the next one is passion to serve. This is great. John 14, verses 12 through 14. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they'll do even greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Boy, that's a powerful passage. Talk to us about that one.
You know, it is a powerful passage, and it's the epitome of the fruit in our lives when we really go to God and give it to Him, that, you know what, God will do amazing things to us, but He'll also do amazing things through us. And so when we follow God and make that commitment to really serve Him and to honor Him in all that we do, amazing things happen in our lives. And that's where it goes back to the scripture verse of Acts. You know, I think of the apostles and the acts of the apostles, and I think of all the amazing and wondrous things that happened when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they went in God's authority and served in His authority, how the world was just dramatically changed.
Absolutely. And Mike said this at the end of the show yesterday, that the world is starved, really, for leaders, for God-fearing people to rise up and take their rightful place, you know, their calling, so they can influence the world. And the book that I just finished writing, it comes out next January, it's on our purpose. It's on, you know, the call of God on our lives. And I fear and I believe and I know many people, as scriptures say, are saved, but they're not free, and they're not even fruitful. Do you know what I'm saying? Where scripture says some are going to be saved, their work will go through the fire, it'll burn up completely because they lived in reaction to their fears, in reaction to their selfishness. So everything they did was apart from faith, so it burned up, and they just got through the fire with themselves. And I think that's a travesty, because we have access to all the riches of heaven. So when I think about the passion to serve with the faith God gives us, don't you believe, and I believe this is scriptural, that as you're faithful with whatever He puts in your hand, He gives you more?
Absolutely. The scripture tells us that well done, good and faithful servant. Now that you've done well with little, more will be granted or entrusted unto you. And in some ways, it's almost an intimidating thought at times. It's like, Lord, don't give me any more, because I think I have all I can handle. But it is so true that when you are really obedient in the small things, what does that look like? It could look like a lot of different ways. It could be serving your church back in the kitchen. It's doing a lot of things that aren't in the front lines, that aren't in lights, that aren't in the headlines of the newspaper, but you're doing it out of a humbleness and obedience because you love and you want to serve God. And those are the little things that God, I think, really loves, when we just get out and do the things that aren't about us, that are about Him, that we're not looking for any feedback or attention or any anything about us, that it's all for Him. God sees those people and He understands their hearts. And I think those are the people that God really wants to move through and pour out His power through, is because they are the ones who are just fanatically devoted to Him.
100% agree. You know, we're in such a celebrity-driven mindset that a person who maybe doesn't feel like they have any significant gifts to speak of will look at someone with a large platform and think that's, it's only valid if it looks like that. But again, I kind of think some of these big, flashy shows are going to probably burn up, or a lot of it is, you know what I mean? But Jesus says, if you give a cup of water in my name, I write about it, I remember it, it's in the book of life. And so He came and He turned the world upside down. His values were upside down. So I love what you said, because I'm thinking of that person listening today going, I don't really have any outward gifts to speak of. I'm so broken, so fractured, so insecure. Really, God is just calling him to do the next thing He's nudging him to do, if that's being kind to the neighbor, isn't it?
Absolutely. It was interesting. I spoke to a group here a few years ago, and I had a young lady walk up to me, and she said hello, and she said, I loved what you said today and how you talked about how God uses people in the kingdom, and when we're faithful to Him, how He really moves and does powerful things. And she started to break down into tears, and she said, you know, I'm a Christian and I'm a believer. I love the Lord. She goes, but you know what? I am just so busy taking care of my family and my husband and my household, I don't feel like I can go out and do those significant things. And I stopped her and I said, you know what God's got in my heart right now? I said, He absolutely loves you right where you're at, because look at how you're influencing your children's life. Look at how you're bringing that Christian household to your family, that you're praying for your husband, that there isn't anything more significant that you could do right now. I said, you are a lover and an honor and a follower of Jesus Christ, and you're bringing that faith to your family. It's a legacy. It's something your kids will never forget. They'll bring it to their kids. I said, what greater thing is there? And she looked at me in her tears, and she smiled, and she said, thanks, I really needed to hear that. Yeah. And for me, that was a word from God, because it's just our faithfulness to Him, wherever He has us, is really the significance of what God wants to do.
That's so good. You know, your story is making me think of another gal after one of my events. And she came up to my book table a couple times, and her dark hair hung in front of her face. And I'm like, you want to talk? And she shook her head no and walked away. Several times, came up and went back. And then finally, at the end of the event, everybody was gone. We packed up the book table. We're walking out with our suitcases. And she was leaning against a wall out in the foyer with her hair hanging in front of her eyes. And I went up to her and I just said, can we talk now? And she kind of shook her head. She was so condemned and so full of shame. She was probably in her early 20s. And she says, I've completely blown it. I've disappointed God, my friends, my family. You can't even believe how bad I've blown it. And in so many sentences, I gathered that she'd blown it morally many times, that she'd rung up all kinds of debt, that she'd maybe taken from friends and family financially. And so I got a feeling that she just went haywire, you know, maybe gambling, maybe, you know, immorality all over the place. But she was so locked up in her condemnation. And I was whispering, you know, Lord, wisdom, give me wisdom for what to say to her. And I said, are you saved? Have you asked Jesus into your heart? And she said, yeah, but I'm so far from him. I've blown it. I've gone too far. And I said, you know what? Your stuff's under the blood if you've asked forgiveness. But I said, I got to tell you this. If you can you're young. Your life is not over. If you can take that story and go speak to other young women who are tempted to blow it like you did, I said, you know what will be written in the book of life? Not all the ways you messed up. All the young girls you saved from going the route that you did. That's what's going to be remembered about you in eternity. And I'm bringing that up, Mike, because I'm thinking of a guy who's listening today who's like, you know what? I've done more bad than good. Yes, I have Jesus in my heart, but I can't get over my track record. And I'm wondering if you could speak a word of encouragement to that guy today.
Yeah, you know, I think God takes anything, any situation, and where Satan means for harm and for destruction, God takes and does for good. And we're all there. We're all there, just at different degrees.
That's
but
right.
We all struggle and we all fall short. The Bible talks about that all the time, how we all struggle. Paul talks about it, that we fall short of the glory of God. But God still uses each one of us. And so I love your story. And I would say to anybody listening is that, you know what, wherever you're at is a great opportunity for you to turn and seek God. It's a reason to turn and seek God and ask for his forgiveness and ask for his redemption and to use that opportunity to go and minister to others, because who better to minister to people than have had struggles in those specific areas? And we can talk about all different areas of struggles, but people who have been saved from those struggles are the best people to go minister to other people.
Love it.
Who have been challenged in those areas. And it's all through the saving grace of Jesus Christ that we get to go share that message and help others through those struggles.
Amen. We possess that by faith. Well, we've run out of time. I can't believe it. We want to talk so much about generous giving, and that's such a big one. But I'm going to read the verse real quick, and we need to wrap up and pray, but it's 2 Corinthians 9, verses 7 through 9. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. God loves a cheerful giver, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you'll always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. Boy, I want so much to have time to unpack this one, because I believe you really can't mature spiritually unless giving becomes a part of it. I think you can grow to a point, but if you refuse to engage your finances and your faith, you stunt your spiritual growth, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think it's a very important part of it. Giving in financial terms and giving of your time and giving of your resources, it is what God calls us to do. And we are basically his money managers, is the mm-hmm. way I've had it explained to me. And I always look at it as like, how am I glorifying God with what he's given me?
Yeah.
And giving is a big part of our faith journey and our maturity in terms of being, you know, a mature Christian.
Yeah, if we can trust him with our salvation, we got to trust him with our finances, because he owns it all. Well, Mike, this has been great, and the time has gone by so, so fast. But I would just love to have you close in prayer. I'm thinking of the person listening today who really desperately needs to experience God's love in a very tangible way. I wonder if you pray for that person. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Lord, we thank you for this time today, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for who you are. Lord, you are the giver of all things, Lord, and you are the one, Lord, who leads us to salvation, Lord, to eternal life, Lord. You give us the promise of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, Lord, frees us from bondage, Lord. And so, Lord, I just pray for anyone out there, Lord, who is struggling right now in bondage, Lord, that they're challenged in different ways. They're struggled. They're relationally broken. They're emotionally broken, spiritually, morally, Lord, that they would just stop right now, Lord, that they would draw that proverbial line in the sand, Lord, that they would just say, you know what? My way is not working. Mm-hmm. Internally, I am not focused on the right things, and I need an eternal perspective. And so I pray that they would get their eyes on you, Lord, that they would stop and give you, Lord, the opportunity to minister to them, Lord, that they would become more cognizant of who you are, Lord. I would pray that you would put people in their life, Lord, that would come alongside them and encourage them and inspire them, Lord, that they would become mentors, Lord, that you would lead them to a church, Lord, that would help them grow and nurture their faith. But right now, Lord, I would just pray that you give them hope, that you would just give them a glimmer of hope in their heart, that they know that you exist, that you're there, Lord, that you're real, and that you have such an awesome promise for their life, Lord. So let them come to know you and seek you in bigger ways, Lord, and let that happen today, right here and right now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Mike. You were a great guest. Really appreciate your heart for the Lord.
Thank you, Susie. I appreciate being here today.
Yeah, great to have you. HisClay.org, right?
That's correct.
Check out that website for sure. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. Don't forget, tomorrow is Sunshine Thursday. Go on the website now. Tell me how you see God moving. Look for that burning bush, as Mike said. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. And he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.